Podcasting 2.0 for December 16th, 2022, episode 113, Substance Dualism. Hello, everybody. Welcome to your weekly board meeting. That's right. We go all the way up until the end of the year of Podcasting 2.0. Do you want to know what's ahead and what's in store for 2023? Well, we're not going to tell you. We are the future. Ha! So you came to the right place. Everything happening with the namespace. Everything at podcastindex.org and, of course, podcastindex.social. I'm Adam Curry here in the heart of the Texas Hill Country. And in Alabama, he's making a list and checking it twice. Say hello to my friend on the other end, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Dave Jones.
Oh, I did a dangerous thing.
What did you
do? I muted myself during the intro. And I just barely remembered to unmute myself right as
you. Why would you do that? I got you covered, bro. I got you covered.
I don't know. I think I was in a fog from enjoying my beef milkshake.
Beef milkshake? Yes. Oh, that doesn't sound very good.
I blame you for this new dietary infatuation that I have.
Oh, wait. You know, I was going to ask, how is your beef diet going?
My beef journey has progressed all the way to milkshake. Dan Benjamin sent me this. He's like, man, I've got this great like beef protein shake that I use. Uh-huh. And I was like, ooh. And he said, no. It's like grass fed, but it's like isolated beef protein. It doesn't taste like beef. You know, he's like, it's like chocolate. And I'm right. Like, that's even worse. he's like, no, I swear, here, buy it. And if you don't like it, I'll buy it from you. Like I just send it to me.
So now do you use the KNC beef in that?
No. So I did I ran out of KNC beef and I had to order some, and it takes like a week to get here.
Yeah.
And so then I'm like, oh, you know what? I really need a fallback plan because my body is loving the super high protein diet.
Mm-hmm.
It has really like made an impact on the way I feel.
I love hearing this. Yeah. You're ready to be on the Meat Mafia show now.
Okay. Sign me up. I'll give testimonials.
This is exactly it. And there it was. The answer was in front of you for all these years.
Yeah. I know I've said this before, but I didn't realize if I go back and look, I mean, I was eating like a lot of days, I was eating like 20 grams of protein.
20? 20?
Yes.
That's like
awful.
It's like two eggs.
I know. It was shameful. And so wow. I'm sorry, body. And so I have to have like double, triple, quadruple backup plan emergencies.
Oh, to have,
so I got the beef shake.
You have jerky and all kinds of stuff ready to ingest.
Ready to go. Yeah, ready
I'm
to go.
I'm so like happy
break,
to hear
break
that.
Glass, remove jerky. Yes.
I'm so happy to hear that, man. I mean, I know that you've struggled with all kinds of bullshit just health-wise in that regard.
I'm working out. I'm like lifting weights and stuff.
Oh, man.
It's made a big difference. Yeah, huge difference.
Oh, man. Now you know what's going to happen. Chicks are going to flock to you.
We don't want any of that. I got the garlic necklace ready to go.
Oh, I think I have a hernia.
Do you for real?
I think so. I looked it up. I'm like, oh, this is kind of like one of those hernia things.
You go to the dentist and get some dental work and come out with a hernia.
I'm telling you, man, this is, you know, I don't want to complain. I really don't, but you know, I was freaked out about the procedure itself. And, you know, that, of course, turned out to be really nothing. It was almost like, hey, I almost want to do that fentanyl thing again. That was kind of fun.
Don't ever let me hear you say that again.
Well, we're doing it again when the posts go in. But that'll be a couple months. And they say, no, it'll be the healing. And I'm like, okay, when you think of the healing, you just think of, you know, it's like I got stitches. There's all the stuff going on. They put stuff in it. There's healing. But you kind of don't. What's not in the brochure is is how much you use your mouth for functioning in the world. And when things are missing or displaced, and you know it's in a transitionary state. You know, this is very. It affects you in an odd number of ways.
Huh.
Mainly that you feels like you're wearing a mouth guard all day long.
What gives you this feeling? Is it the temporaries or?
Well, yeah. Oh yeah. Cause I have two bridges in my mouth, but they're only attached to the canine. So you can't really chew any. It's, in an odd way, I can empathize with people who have an artificial limb. You know, it's functioning, but you have no connection to it.
It's prosthetic teeth.
Yeah. Yes. No, but they're not connected to the bone at all, even. Hey, it doesn't matter. I'm just saying. It's like, and then I got this hernia. I think it's a hernia.
Does it like hurt like hell every time you laugh?
Not hurt like hell. No.
Okay.
No, but if it gets any worse, it might. That's probably what it is.
You don't need to mess around with that. Like, you might want to go get that checked.
It's like a quarter of all men get something like this. It's not bad unless it cuts off your intestines or whatever.
Yeah. You don't want that at all.
No. Oh, I'm feeling kind of woozy now, Dave. I don't know what to do.
You went your whole life with like no medical things ever.
Ever.
Now they're all happening at once.
Everything's coming together just perfectly. Just
now you're perfectly. Now you're in the system.
That's right. So, yeah, that's right. I'm in this. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, it's all right. My deductible is like $9,000, so that's fine.
Oh, yeah. No, you'll be fine. Yeah, just trade your car in. You'll be fine.
So this is kind of near the end of the year, and I think we are doing an end of year show.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm kind of regretting not even ever wanting to do an end of year show. Tell me how many people have asked me to do a thing for their end of year show, and it involves a prediction. And highlights from the last year, and I'm
one of those. Yesterday.
I know. I'm only half. That's it's like Pod News Weekly. Like everyone is on there with their reviews and predictions. And I'm like, why does everybody have to do it? I didn't do any of them this year.
Oh, you didn't?
No, I didn't get asked. Well,
Sam hit me with what was your highlight of or no? What do you think is going to happen in 23? I was like mental blank. I don't know. I have no idea.
Didn't you just plug Podping 2.0?
I plugged it first, but I didn't know where the like what's going to happen. And I was being honest. I think my prediction is just the slow march forward.
Yeah, it's what podcasting does. It always grows with, like between 4% and 7% a year, no matter what it is. Takes time, mm-hmm. Very slow rollout. Well, we can kind of review for ourselves. I mean, last year's predictions. I think we were right on every single thing. Facebook, YouTube, that'll be nothing. We both said it. Clubhouse. Well, remember how Clubhouse? Let's run around and do Clubhouse. No. So we predicted everything that would fail. We're pretty good at that.
As a matter of fact, I can't think of a single thing we've ever gotten wrong.
Exactly. Companies running out of money, predicted. People getting fired, predicted. Financial deplatforming is one of the reasons we started this. I will make a prediction for next year. I will.
Please.
You want to hear? Yeah. I have two.
Yep.
Artificial intelligence will suck and no one will use it in podcasting. It's bullshit.
Oh, okay. I want to talk about ChatGPT, by the way. Yeah.
Let's do it.
Everybody's posting their ChatGPT screenshots and stuff and whatever. What piqued my interest in this was it's OpenAI that is the people behind ChatGPT, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And what caught my attention was they gave Descript, which is, the popular podcast editor thing, they gave that company $80 million.
Yeah,
that's a lot of money.
Yeah,
and so like this is not. I don't know anything about Descript. It's not about Descript, but these OpenAI people, who are their investors? Because they must have some serious cash if they can just part with $80 million.
Oh no, OpenAI is like this is like the Linux Foundation. It's all big tech.
I don't think the Linux Foundation has $80 million.
The Linux Foundation is pretty much owned by Microsoft, is the way I understand it. I'll bet you they do have that kind of money.
Maybe I'm wrong.
Let's take a look at who is open. I mean, I don't know. But okay, I understand your premise.
Right. But this is not... I know it's just semantics, okay? OpenAI. but this none of this is real. None of this blows my mind here.
No, it's basically Amazon. The chat stuff to me is Siri, Alexa, Hey Google, whatever you want to call it, with the same stupid answers, just a little more embellished in flowery word salad.
That's exactly what it is. It's word salad.
It's word salad.
It's just all different variations of a fancier Mechanical Turk.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
And I guess the reason I want to bring it up is because they're throwing tons of money around, clearly. And as this stuff gets better, I just think we need to remember a few things about that. This is not intelligence.
In any manner at all.
In any way.
No. But you know what happens? You know what happens with this? I'm gonna give you my opinion real quick on this. What happens?
Yeah, no, I want to hear it.
So people are all jacked and jitty, like, oh, it can at least it helps me write my review. At least it helps me do my code. At least it helps me do my art. It helps. Blah, 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 blah. This is a prison, and you are helping construct it. Because one day you're gonna wake up, and that same artificial intelligence is gonna be making decisions for you. But not on your behalf. It'll be a government agency that has bought into it and thinks it's all great. Oh, yeah, it's fantastic. So this is where a decision will be made. Do you get parole or do you go to prison? And we all know AI is racist, don't we? This is already happening, by the way. This is not fictional. If you think this is the best that AI has to deliver, imagine how bad it is, the stuff they're using in courtrooms today that are making decisions about people. And recidivism, committing another crime, going back to jail. And we're trusting this level of AI on it. If this is the best, so you're building your own prison, people. Stop it.
The scarier thing to me is medical decisions.
Yeah,
there you go. You know that's gonna happen. I give you a perfect example. Got a friend who. Who's married to a pathologist, and the pathologist had contacted the doctor because they're like looking at this slide, trying to determine how to diagnose. And she was like, you know, I need to know this person's medical history because this looks like it could be X disease. Uh-huh. I'm trying to be discreet here. And the doctor wouldn't say, and had something, and she finally figured out, okay, this person must be homosexual, and the doctor doesn't want to tell me, but what I'm seeing here is something that's very concerning, and I need to know that information because that puts the risk, that changes the risk profile. And so they're having there's sort of this politics that came into this.
Uh-huh.
And the pathologist was like, look, I don't care about any of that. I'm trying to accurately diagnose this person, and I can't do this without a full medical history. And what ticked the box was, you know, oh, this person has had a monkeypox vaccine recently. She's like, okay, this must be what's going on. And so she was trying to put all this stuff together. If there was a possibility of AI, that could just cut the pathologist all the way out. And all of a sudden you don't have to have these uncomfortable conversations anymore. You just feed the data into the system and the AI spits out the diagnosis, the pathology diagnosis and all, and you know, and you're all good. And what's been lost is a full workup by a human who knows how to read this stuff and do a complete medical history.
And along with, you know, we're not talking about artificial intelligence. We're talking about artificial art. Yeah, that's what people are showing me. This is art that's artificial. This is writing, which is an art which is made artificially. This is a voice, which is artificial. It's just artificial. It's not even. There's no intelligence in this. Anyway, when I hear predictions, oh, AI is going to move into podcasting, blow me. No way. Go away. Now, my final prediction of the two is. Ad-based podcasting, advertise podcasts who exist because of advertising, i.e. you wouldn't do your show for free, So there's advertising in your life. These podcasts are going to suck more and more because there will be less and less of them because of safety and suitability. Safety and suitability. It went from brand safe to, I think, trust and safety. And now we're at safety and suitability. And I have this information from Pod News Weekly. This is, I think, the founder of an ad podcast ad agency, I believe, called Barometer. Did you hear this particular interview?
That's the only thing I've heard from it so far. I didn't have a chance to listen to much.
I have a clip.
Well, what we've figured out is that we have a certain level of responsibility for the environments we place our clients in. But sometimes we limit that discussion to just what is said in the show. And as it turns out, there can be a lot of challenges for brands that affiliate with a show that may be safe, but the host is not, for reasons that happen outside of the show.
Oh.
So we get a sudden emergency.
And I love, actually, I heard James Cridlin acting surprised. I don't think he was even, I think he was sincere.
Email that a host we're sponsoring was caught wearing a shirt that said something controversial in the wild. And all of a sudden, this is a topic. So if you thought that you're only responsible for the show, you are not. You are responsible for the behavior of that individual to some people, to some stakeholders. And so really important that you get visibility into that as well as what's in the show itself.
Wow. I mean, are there any examples that wearing a shirt can't be a proper example, can it?
So, no, I have the second part of this. But this, of course, happened on Patreon. We saw this happen a while ago, and Patreon came on the scene as a value for value type proposition, but not really, because, you know, if you did something nasty on YouTube, then we're going to throw you off Patreon because you are an undesirable. You were just not, even if you have a, it wasn't even in your podcast. You were a guest on someone else. This happened several times where people were taken off Patreon for this reason.
Yep. That's, I think that this might be the best, like, what do you want to call it? Like the best evidence for why it's fantastic that Twitter is imploding, because if not Facebook, not anything else, if only Twitter did not exist, there would be absolutely nothing here. There would be no story. There would be no brand safety. It's all a bunch of Twitter nonsense. Like it's the Twitter mob, and the Twitter mob is like creaky and cracking now as they get splintered into the diaspora. All of these things begin and end on Twitter. And I, for one, am glad to see the whole thing just kind of crumble, because it's dumb. I think Todd Cochran is right. He said, you know, he's been railing on brand safety, algorithmic brand safety, and that kind of thing for a while. And his point has been, it's just targeting. It's targeting under a different. It's ad targeting under the guise of brand safety.
It's reverse ad targeting is what it is.
Yeah, it was.
You're not targeting to an individual group. You're saying, we've pared down the group. Here you go.
Yeah. Okay. It's a filter.
Yeah. Exactly. You want to hear the second part here? I just want to wrap this up. Yeah.
No, that's a real example. Absolutely. Yeah. There was a podcaster who wore a shirt that didn't make any sense to me. Not something I would have recommended that they wear, but they were wearing it, and someone snapped a picture. Somebody put it on the internet, and Twitter was ablaze. So that's not the only example we have, but truly, people trend for all sorts of reasons. People get upset with a personality for all types of reasons. And, you know, I think in the early days, we might have imagined that it was exclusively about what's said on air, and then their personal life is their personal life. But we don't live in that world anymore.
Oh.
And so that's not to say that we advocate for disassociating with programs because of every behavior that a talent is accused of conducting or conducts. But it is helpful to be aware of it so that sponsors and listeners can be eyes wide open with their affiliations and what they're consuming.
So, and it's fine. You know, I don't mind. Everybody can do whatever they want to do. But you just need to be aware of the fact that this is basically mainstream media. This is what I lived with for most of my entire life, but certainly half of my professional life, is the it's the morality clause. And you even have, I was offered a book deal for my book, Morality Clause. No, I'm not interested. I'm not interested. Morality Clause, that's when you become the slave. And I'm drawing the express analogy to Kanye or even Prince, if you want to take it to that level. When they have you by the balls like that, where you cannot behave the way you, Dave Chappelle, where you cannot behave the way you want to, who you are as a full person in your full self, because they will hold that over you. And all it takes is Twitter mob. I'm not necessarily going to agree that it's only because of the Twitter mob, but this is everywhere in life in general. But it the virality flowing through the Twitter, and believe me, Twitter's not falling apart. That's a whole nother discussion, but it's not falling apart. It's going to be something else, and you're not going to have this much fun or that we used to have. But this idea of being captured in the advertising model is something I would like anyone to consider carefully before you get into it. Because the worst thing that can happen is you're successful, believe me.
So what's the prediction? This is your prediction. What are you predicting?
Death and destruction. Sodom and Gomorrah of the ad-based business. No, my prediction was it's going to be boring. It's going to be boring. Everyone's going to be boring. Everyone has to be boring. Don't wear that crazy kooky t-shirt. You know, it's like, no, that is now being baked into the industry. You know, people, I just feel so bad of the hoax that there's an actual ad industry and that people are making lots of money. It's not. It's very small groups, I think. Very, very small groups. Look, if Spotify can't even make money, the 600-pound gorilla, they can't even make it work. Where's the ad business?
I wrote down on my thing. December 2023, Adam, content will be boring.
Ad-based content will be boring.
Ad-based content
will Meanwhile, be everybody else living value for value is having a good time. We got the champagne. Okay. It's more like Prosecco. But you know what? We got Prosecco. And we're having a good time.
Prosecco. It's why Zinfandel.
Yeah, okay. Exactly. We don't need your Cristal, okay? Because we're free men and women here. We're free. We're free to do as we wish. No one can tell us what to do. And we're supported and we're loved at any given moment by the sat streamers.
I think my example to Sam was HTML and IE. Like, I've got this folder that I keep around that's got a bunch of old web browsers, and every now and then, just for a kick, I'll just go like fire them up.
Now, that still runs on your machine, or you have to run that in a virtual machine?
No, it runs. Like, I've got a copy of IE1. And it runs. It's just it's a single executable. Isn't that funny? I mean, it's like a single 1 meg executable. You just double click it and it fires up. I mean, like, it can't do anything. But HTML1, HTML2, they had like 7 tags.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, it was like nothing. But
back in the day. Well, then that was JavaScript.
Yeah. Well, when you first saw those early web pages, you had to think, okay, here's companies like Adobe over here that are behind things like PostScript. And you have to imagine that they looked at the early web and were like, that's so stupid that you can't. Are you telling me that that thing is going to take over our industry? No. Oh, like, that's the reaction.
Well, I'll take you one further. Craigslist was very clear. What's his name? Newmark? No, Craig. Well, anyway,
Craig Nemo.
Yeah. He went to all the big publishing houses and said, and most famously, what's the one in Chicago?
The Chicago Publishing House.
Publishers Clearinghouse, whatever it was. I said, hey, we're going to take away your business. You should probably buy us now. You know, for like, and no, it was Hearst, actually. I know I've heard the story from Will Hearst. You know, you should buy us now for like, you know, $5 million. And that was true because the business model of newspapers was classified ads. That's where they made the money.
And they did laugh him out of the room?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, and later, you know, later they came back to screw him with, you know, the back page legislation that, you know, you couldn't have, you know, you have to vet every single personal ad. And so, you know, they basically put Craigslist out of business, which, you know, could have seen coming too.
So that's my, you know, my prediction for the slow march forward of podcasting 2.0 is based on that. You know, it's easy to look over here and say things like, nobody wants this crap. You know, and no, like, who cares about comments in your podcast app and blah, blah, blah. And it's so easy. Look at Spotify. It's perfect. It's a full stack. Yeah. It's integrated. We know when you're in your car, and all this kind of stuff.
And I have to remind people, you know, software is hard. It's hard to do. And so, you know, when I see, someone posting, well, if the Fountain app is going to be glitchy, I'll dump it and switch to another app. It's like, don't do that. Don't be a dick. If you have anything nice to say, then don't say anything at all. It's not easy.
No, but then you look back, you look back in a few years and it's going to be, you'll see clearly the transition point when things begin. I'm going to do a trick here. I'm going to combine my prediction with your prediction to make a third prediction.
Uh-oh, it's a mega prediction. Meta prediction. Here we go.
Yes, yes. The ad-based content business will become boring, which will drive people away from boring content and therefore increase the pressure to come out with cool features to bring people back to content, which will further podcasting 2.0, which will make content even better.
The pod sage has spoken.
What the hell was that?
I don't know. It's all I had, man. I'm just pulling stuff up when I can.
Yes. This is a great thing. This is a grand prediction. Ad-based content. More brand safety.
More brand safety and suitability.
Yes.
And suitable. Oh, man. I'm going to write this down. These horrible things. Safety and suitability. 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 How do you base suitability? AI will take care of it. Don't worry.
This is interesting. So I guess on this same topic a little bit, because who's the chick from the Brookings Institute?
What, the anti-podcast lady?
Yeah, the anti-podcast lady.
Is she back with another article?
No. But I heard she's not back. The last one was lame. Boring.
It was lame. Yeah. That was obvious. And that was an obvious just like sucking up to some political bull crap.
I only got mad once, and so I'm like, this is stupid. But I've got a clip.
Okay. All right.
And this is, just so we're all on the same page about what the Brookings Institution itself is.
Mm-hmm.
This is an old lecture by Jeff Tucker back when he was at the early days of the Mises Institute in Auburn. And he's talking about, he spent time in Washington. I don't remember exactly what he did there, but he spent time in DC, and the larger speech is called Washington Warp. It's like how the culture of Washington, D.C. basically just changes you and morphs you into some other creature than you were when you got there.
Oh, yeah.
And so he drops a little nugget about the origins of the Brookings Institution.
But by the progressive era, new rationales for state power had grown and become far more sophisticated. Now the government needed to exist and expand the pursuit of a social science in the name of government management. That's the phrase public policy for the first time was born. And what is this thing called public policy? It was supposed to be some third path beyond pure scholarship and mere political agitation. Its purpose was to put a smooth and respectable gloss on a power grab to achieve social management in the name of science. And the nation's first think tank, in fact, was founded at the height of the Progressive Era in 1916 as the Institute for Government Research. It was initially funded entirely by the Rockefeller Foundation to carry out the dreams of the Ivy League political science profession for scientific public policy. Here's how the Institute for Government Research came about. In President William Howard Taft's administration, a group of these progressive political science and municipal reformers were charged with a way of coming up with improving data collection techniques. Data collection is a central function of the modern state. This commission recommended that Congress form a consolidated information and statistical arm of the entire national government. That's a quote. And at the heart of this statistical arm would be the budget division that would present a, quote, annual program of business for the federal government to be financed by Congress, unquote. A bill was drafted. It went to Congress, but Congress said no way and deep-sixed the whole idea on grounds that it seemed absurdly socialistic. Disgruntled members of the committee set up the Institute for Government Research, and later a certain St. Louis industrialist, an educator, took over the job of financing it. His name was Robert S. Brookings, after whom the Institute for Government Research was eventually renamed to become the Brookings Institution. Now, the reason I tell the story of the Brookings Institution is to show that the relationship between a think tank in Washington and the government has always been intensely close. It can't really be any other way. That's always been the function of public policy research institutes. And to some extent that survives to today. The story of Mr. Brookings itself is fascinating in its own right. In World War I, he was called to Washington to be the commissioner of finished products and chairman of the Price Fixing Committee on the War Industries Board. In short, he was a central planner on the totalitarian model, a man who hoped that many more could follow him and enjoy the thrill of fixing other people's prices and running the economy into the ground.
Right. So this makes total sense, of course. This is why the Brookings Institution wants to have some kind of moderation policy for podcasts, because they can't control the message in podcasting, which was pretty much our mission statement. I think we, in fact, at one time wrote down, make sure government can't fuck with us. Wasn't that a part of the mission statement?
I don't remember. It sounds like something we would write. Yes.
Explain Jeff Tucker for people who have never heard of him.
Jeff Tucker, he was he may have been the first president of the Mises Institute in Auburn. He goes back to this era when the Mises Institute is an Austrian economy, basically an Austrian economics think tank. And they got offered, if I remember the story correctly, when Tucker was leading that group, they got offered to, I think it was by the Koch brothers, if I'm not mistaken, they got offered to be well funded, millions of dollars in funding. This was maybe back in the early 90s. But the one caveat was they had to move their facilities to DC, and the Mises Institute said, no thanks, I'm not doing it. We're staying. As soon as we move to DC, we're going to lose all of our principles. We're going to forget who we are. They turned down millions of dollars, basically a free ride, a gravy train, based on principle. And that all pretty much was under Tucker's leadership. That's the guy he is. So, I mean, you may not agree with everything that he thinks, but he is a person of principle.
So here's, this is interesting that you bring this up. So I'll just give you my Twitter pitch, because this flows right into it, because Twitter would be exactly the platform that he was talking about, but the Brookings Institution would be involved in. And this is, perfect for, canceling, shadow banning, whatever kind of control, obfuscation, all of it. By the way, it's kind of funny to see on, I have a private little Mastodon instance that I run just to subscribe to people so that I have no noise, just all the signal. And all the journalists are just outraged. I can't believe
about what?
about Twitter policy. They've always been blocking, obfuscating. Nothing's really changed. It's, well, perception is it's shifted, but it doesn't matter. I just want to point out, this is all distraction. This is all a big smoke screen while everybody is running around with their heads cut off. The stack that's being implemented is payment authentication. Twitter has applied for a processing license. They, in essence, will become a bank. Elon Musk wants you to put money into Twitter, and Twitter will give you interest payments. So it'll be like a money market account. So it wants to run all of your finances. This is why it doesn't matter at all how much he charges for the Twitter Blue. That is, it is about authenticating you with payments. Authenticating with payments is very critical, because then you can get a monthly confirmation that your data is still valid, your address, etc. In addition to that, if you've noticed, there's a big policy around your screen name. So if you have a blue, then it has to be your name. Now, you may be able to put in there that you're with a certain organization, but it will be your name. So it's a lot less fun to troll and mess with people when your name is your real name and your data is, you know, who you are is traceable, easily traceable, because there are, free speech or not, there are laws against slander and other tort laws. So it's going to be, excuse me, it's going to take all the fun out of it, but it'll, and this is what I believe he's betting on, is he will have the two things that are necessary for the central bank digital currency, or wherever the world goes in the future. You'll have the digital ID and the payment mechanism with the appropriate licensing and oversight to do it. And it's not going to be Dogecoin, and it's certainly not going to be Bitcoin or Lightning. And stop wishing that he's going to do podcasting 2.0, because it's not going to happen. Go look at WeChat. That's what he's building. That's what he's always said he wanted to build. And everyone is distracted by this free speech thing, which you're going to get exactly what you asked for. It'll be free speech, but you won't be able to hide behind any fake name or pseudonym. So the fun will die.
This, all the brand safety, content moderation, AI, they all feed into the AI. You know, you heard in that Pod News Weekly interview, they were talking about their AI and their product and that kind of thing. All this stuff, it all goes back to this AI, which is
Skip Logic.
It's Skip Logic. It's in COBOL. It's Skip Logic and COBOL.
Yeah, exactly. You can run it on an AS400. I'm not impressed.
But that all goes back to data collection. It's all about data collection.
Yep.
And that's what the Brookings Institution, that's what these places do, is data collection. It's just running algorithms over a data set. That's not how intelligence works. That's not intelligence.
No.
The one of my favorite philosophical a person whose philosophy I've built most of my own philosophy on, at least metaphysically, is Gottfried Leibniz. And he's you could call him a disciple of Descartes, but he really had a lot of his own thinking. He just sort of fits into that mold because his, you know, he's essentially a substance dualist, but he's not. But his thinking.
Hold on. A substance dualist? You gotta give me.
Yeah, well, like that. You know, you have the physical world and then the spiritual world, and they're two different substances. They're two independent things. You don't have a. It's not a unity. One of my favorite things he wrote was this, I think they call it the mill argument. So it goes like this. It's a, you know, how philosophers like to do thought experiments in possible world scenarios.
Well, of course.
So he says, it's like, imagine that you have a machine and this machine can think. Whatever that means. And so he thinks of it like a mill. He says, okay, imagine that you have this, you know, this mill and you blow it up big enough to where you can walk into it and see all the parts. You can see the wheels pushing on other wheels and the gears and all these things that make the mill function. And he said, now do that same thing. Take the brain and imagine the functioning of the brain, whatever you think that looks like, and blow it up large enough to where you could walk inside of it and look around. What would you see? What would you see that is the thinking that is happening? You can't envision the push. I think he calls it the pushing and pulling of mechanisms and parts that create what we know as thinking.
Hold on a second. I'm trying to get there, brother. Hold on.
A little more. All right.
I'm good.
And the reason is because thoughts and perceptions are different from representation. So you can say a perception and a perception of a thing and a representation of a thing are different. The perception of a thing, a thought, it's a singular. It's a single thing. It's a unity. You can't subdivide it into lesser parts. But everything else that then including AI and these things that pretend to be intelligence, you can always subdivide them into smaller and smaller components. That's physics.
But perception is
not physics. Yeah. Perception is metaphysics. They are thoughts and ideas and intellectual objects are all singular, what he called a monads. They're things that cannot be subdivided into smaller parts.
Hey, man, is this in this book that you sent me?
No, this is not in that book. That's a different book. No.
Okay, I'm digging it all, though. I'm digging it. Yeah. Okay, I hear what you're saying.
But the only reason I bring this up is it's important to remember because this is all the artificial intelligence. Like, I recently watched that thing with John Carmack, this Lex Fridman interview with Carmack. I think we may have played a clip. Mm-hmm. And he's real big. He's just so high on this idea that we're going to figure out intelligence, man. It's just going to be so simple and we're going to have a general intelligence engine and all this. That's not the way this works. Mm-mm. This is why metaphysics trumps physics every single time. The physics gets you so far and then it just stops and you're stuck. And if you can't understand the metaphysics, you're just at a wall and you'll never get there no matter how smart you are. Look, but I think we need to keep that in mind.
I have high school intelligence and that's about all I got. The rest is from the streets of Amsterdam and New York.
The streets of Amsterdam
and all
from the canal.
That's right. The old streets of London as well. All I know is that I can spot AI from a mile away, especially when it's art. Any form of art, it's insulting to post this at me.
That's why I brought it up. I'm glad you said that. This is why I brought this art. This sometimes I bring stuff up and I'm not sure exactly why. This book, because it's important to remember those things, even when we get to the point where you can't spot the difference. When we get to that point, it doesn't mean that intelligence has been achieved. It's still this thing because the intelligence does not fit the description of what intelligence actually is.
My hernia. It doesn't hurt when I laugh. I can still laugh.
I just gave you a swift kick to the groin there.
Oh my goodness. Okay. Sorry. Well, that was deep.
I'm sorry. That was boring.
No, it wasn't. It was deep. But it's okay because now comics are blog. Hey, if you disagree with the Pod Sage, boost us. Boost us with your grievance. All your grievances. Yes. We want to hear them, please.
But I did bring something that I think it is your favorite topic.
Okay.
Stats.
Yay. Hello. well, actually we did have a little conversation about stats. We had a back room meeting. Should I tell people about our back room meeting?
hoping, I was hoping that you would do that.
Yes. As you know, I have very little affinity with statistics of whose podcast app is on the leader. Because all I hear is everyone's podcast is number one. That's in everyone has a list where their podcasts are number one. So I put very little faith or anything. And these are never podcasts I'm interested in listening to, interestingly enough. Mm. And so I think I contribute to 70% of the data in the OP3 system. Everywhere we can, we're contributing data. I don't really get much back. And then you gave me a statistic, which I liked, which was, hey, because we changed a few things. Thank you very much. You saved me now 30 minutes per no agenda show, certainly, and probably for most others by adding the webhook and moving the no agenda feed out of a horrible cache situation.
No, are you gonna say what we did, or you want me to tell it?
Yeah, can you do it in a little shorter than the whole AI thing?
Man,
come on!
Merry Christmas to me. Thanks. Okay, let's say short. Okay, we moved. Adam is now uploading his feed to a CDN that we control, which is in object storage. It's behind Cloudflare. And the normal feed URL for no agenda is just a 302 redirect to that URL. Okay, go.
Which is great because now I don't have to do everything by hand and literally wait until the cache on the RSS feed is done to hit the pod ping, just all this stuff. So it's beautiful. 30 minutes is a big deal in my life when you can remove that off of production, pre or post or combined.
You showed me your pre-post checklist and it was ridiculous.
And that's so I don't mess something up. So this now put us in the, because we don't run any stats on that. And so now we have Cloudflare stats. And you said, oh man, the no agenda feed has been checked over 10,000 times in the last hour, LOL. And I'm like, hey, let's track who, because everyone who's using Podping is not wasteful because you get the pod ping, and you don't need to poll my feed. So why don't we use these statistics for something other than podcast consultants and people who just want to know how their own companies are doing? I want something for me. Finally, here's a stat I want so I can name and shame the people who are killing our earth with unnecessary polling of feeds. And I asked, is it just head requests? Are they pulling in the whole feed? I'd like to have a metric so we can see how much energy, we'll boil it right back down to true energy, are these platforms or apps or organizations wasting? And I'm going to have a personal blacklist, which I will publish. I will publish and we'll give annual awards. We're going to have an award, which I will try and get into the podcast awards.
Planet Killer Award, the Hot House Award.
Yes, the Planet Killers of the Year Award in podcasting. And I'm hoping that maybe you have some data for us today.
I do have some data. The biggest planet killer by far is Podcast Addict.
Wow. Okay.
In 12 hours yesterday, Podcast Addict pulled the feed 13,000 times.
The actual feed, not just a head request, but a full pull.
I didn't go that far. I'm just showing purely checks. I don't know the head versus get,
because that'll make a big difference, won't it?
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah, it will. AntennaPod checked 2,600 times.
Wow.
So 2,600 times. Podcast guru Jason coming in hot with 979.
You're doing
times.
It the wrong way around. We already blew the number one. Okay. All right. So,
I did. I was supposed to go bottom up.
That's okay. It's okay. Start
not a podcasting
over. I'll cut it out. No one will ever know. Start
You'll
at the bottom.
Post.
Right.
Oddly enough, Overcast was very low, 214 times.
In 1 hour.
So that's
in one
that's,
hour?
No, not in 1 hour. No, this is in 12 hours.
Oh, 12 hours. Well, because Overcast, yeah. They probably, he has an algo running. It's like, oh, publish around this day, around this time, because I know he has that.
The AI. It's AI.
Yeah, I know. I think that's ML. ML that fed into the AI. All right. Okay, good. So, well done, Overcast. A gold star. Gold star for Marco. All right.
I would like to say that I looked for the podcast index aggregator, and it didn't show up on the list.
Well, we have Podping.
That's right.
Yes.
It was, you know how many times we polled in 12 hours? Zero.
Zero yes. times. All right. Okay. Yes, so zero times. Overcast with 214, which is very low.
Luminary at 424.
Can Luminary even, do they even play my podcast?
I don't even know I didn't even know Luminary was an app. I thought it was a production company.
Well, maybe Luminary an app? Yeah, they're probably stealing my content. Okay, next.
Stealing my content. They're putting ads in it.
You're playing.
I'm going to throw Castomatic out of this list because Castomatic is on device. So he has no choice. They have to do it this way. It's on device. So there's no central server polling. It's just like whenever somebody opens the app, he's got to check.
Well,
we're going to give Franco a pass here.
Well, hold on a second. How does that work then in the future? Will apps be able to just access Podping, or isn't that the way it should be done? Just go and say what's updated. Look at the, how will that run in the future? If it's on device, if you have no central server, you can't use Podping?
No, I think we're working on that. That's going to be a future phase. Is to make this accessible, more easily accessible to the apps where they don't have to have servers. For now, they're stuck.
Okay.
We're getting there though. We're getting there.
All right.
There's a bunch of browsers and stuff in here, and I have to just think these are fake. Because it's just like is Mozilla. I mean, is Firefox checking you 3,000 times? It just can't be right. This has to be like fake scrapers or something.
Maybe. All I can think of. Maybe. I don't know.
So that's the list there of people, of how many times people poll you. But then you have, this is just sort of a side thing. You know, Overcast does this interesting thing where he puts in the user agent how many subscribers your feed has. So in his user agent, there's in parentheses, it says X number of subscribers. So you can find out how many people are following on Overcast by just looking at the user agent.
And so what does that say strategy. For me? Did you find how many subscribers I have?
7,786.
And only 214 accesses. Interesting. So they're just doing it smartly. Yeah.
So now there's 7,786 No Agenda subscribers on Overcast. And if you look at pretty much every stat chart you can find, Buzzsprout's a good representative. It's all Overcast always appears to be about 1% of the total. So that puts you at about 800,000.
Yeah, that kind of is what we've been thinking, right?
We
got like a million and a half per week. I think is what we came up with. So about 700,000-800,000 subscribers. Wow. Mm-hmm. Go podcasting.
Go podcasting. Anyway, that still is a meaningless number, by the way. But
Go podcasting. I feel good about myself. I love it when James Cridlin says, "My Lord, that's a big podcast. That is No Agenda. That's big. That's a big podcast. That's right. That's right. Look at my big one over here."
This brings up a separate thing, though.
Oh. Well, wait, you haven't finished the list. We haven't shamed it.
That's the list. I did. I finished it.
Oh, okay. Then after that, so then it's a podcast.
Everything else was just an asterisk. Antenna cast,
and then it's... Antenna pod. And what was the worst? Podcast addict.
Yeah.
Wow.
But you know,
Where's Apple? I don't understand. Where's Apple in this? Where's Spotify? They no one on Apple listens to my show.
Well, I mean, your show shows up late on Apple anyway. It may be because they're not checking the feed very much.
Well, do they show up at all in the list of checking the feed?
I'm not seeing anything on here that shows Apple.
So
this was before you published. Yeah.
This must, I don't know. This must be all on device.
I don't know.
Well,
I don't know. I'm just going to keep
your data's falling down. If I can't shame Apple, what's the point of my list?
Okay, I'll come back next week with a new list there that has Apple firmly at the top.
Thank you. That's the way lists are made when we do PR. Okay, good work. Good work, Dave. Thank you.
Yeah, well, I don't work for Brookings, so I didn't know what my marching orders were in advance. So I brought real data, not data that said what I wanted it to.
I want to remind people that there is a, this ties into your stats. There's a valueforvalue.info if you're looking to explain what value for value is. valueforvalue.info, and that's a project that Gigi and I have been working on. It's a work in progress, and it was kind of fun because he has in there how many he has an updated stat of how many value enabled podcasts there are, and of course we update everything through the GitHub just to make it really really like really cool, man. Like we update on the GitHub. Hey, my PR is ready, Gigi. And all of a sudden I see him with a PR and he has a bot that is automatically updating the count and he's pulling from the new R stats.
The new package.
Yeah, because all of a sudden I saw the JSON pop up in the GitHub. I'm like, oh, that's where he's getting it from now. Cool.
Oh, that's good. That's a good way to do it. Because that's whenever you see somebody, I know nothing about R, the programming language. Whenever you see somebody doing some work in R, you're like, oh, that's a data scientist.
Yeah. Sexy. You can just you can just use that if you like hanging out at the cafeteria at MIT.
Oh, yeah. Oh, for sure.
If only I could find someone, an associate to work with me on my R stats package.
You just need a t-shirt.
Someone who's single and can work late nights.
One thing that this is not a prediction. Is it? No, it's not a prediction. IAB. Can we just say that this has been a bad year for IAB in general? Because these IAB download things suck.
We can.
The Dalvik thing with
prove once again, after 18 years, we do not have a business model, people. You don't have something that is reliable. We don't have a model.
But everybody, the story behind the Dalvik Samsung thing was that, you know, it was a bug in Samsung, in Samsung's player, but it was only vaguely mentioned that on a couple of podcasts I heard that these were again these were all IAB compliant downloads, every one of them. Every time one of these things happens where you have the game ad podcast plays and the buggy Samsung app and the the buggy Apple app, it's always IAB compliant downloads. These numbers are complete trash.
I want to, okay. Yes. And I can even, the stuff that Spurlock is doing is in that regard great because, the OP3 playground is, that's totally going to discredit and ruin everything that has ever existed in advertising. And it is for podcasts. It's an immeasurable thing. You should give in, go value for value, valueforvalue.info. And I will tell, I'm not stupid. And I've been in media all of my life. You just heard we have about 800,000 people subscribing. If I could make shitloads of money and not have to care at all by running ads, I would. But what I get out of the value for value for 15 years is better. Now, you can quantify that however you want. For sure, 25% of it is I don't have to have a single meeting with an a-hole about what I said or how I read the copy or could you back off on that or could you punch that up a bit and could you just mention that instead of this? I don't have to do that. So that's worth at least
50 grand right there. I'm
just saying it's 25% of the joy that I don't, but I've had a lot of meetings. So newbies, you still might like meetings and think you're important, but you're not.
How many? That is something I've also learned about during the podcasting 2.0.
Well, you've become a podcaster. You are a podcaster, and you understand now how it all fits together and how it works. I mean, you grasp that with two hands.
And one thing I've clearly learned is that meetings make you feel great for about 5 minutes, and then you realize that nobody's ever going to do what they promise you they're going to do in a meeting.
Right, exactly.
And it's like, oh man, this is great. They, you know, it sounds like there's really some momentum here. 6 months later, nothing.
Oh yeah. I forgot on one other prediction in that vein. I predict cross app comments will not happen in 2023.
That's my prediction.
It's my prediction. Now, something else will happen, but it's not happening. I can see no one's doing it.
I don't know if I'm going to join on board with this prediction. This seems like a scary prediction.
This is my reverse psychology prediction.
Oh God, I'm an idiot. Of course I should have known this. This is you baiting developers into doing what you want.
Yeah. Now, developers either do it or they don't. And whatever reason, even with I thought you were right. I thought the Mastodon influx, you know, people are now interacting, they're enjoying it. There's a lot of LARPers around, but you know, there's definitely got heat, you know, to be able to say, hey, we now integrate now the comments, comments in our app show up in other apps, show up on your Mastodon. You can follow it from your instance. I can write the marketing plan in 3 seconds for you. But I know it's hard to develop stuff, and people, developers, they develop what they want to, what they're interested in. They don't do it because they have to. It's because of what they're interested in. And so if there's no interest, I know to just shut up. I'm barking up a tree with no bird in it. No cat in the tree.
I've got to.
They're not lazy. Invest. They're all working on their stuff that they want. You work on what you want to work on, right?
Yeah. You know what I'm working on right now? The 100% retro dynamic feed.
See? And this, I love you so much. Because I know all I have to do is, my theory with developers is all I have to do is I have to deliver the data, the content, the feed. If I can just keep delivering, and I deliver cross-app comments on 4 shows, 800,000 subscribers who could potentially participate in cross-app comments. Yeah, maybe it's a driver.
And absolutely would do it.
And by the way, I just want to say, yesterday I hit up John C. Dvorak and said, hey, tomorrow I want to demo our Bitcoin to dollar interface.
Ooh, is that like ready to go?
It's working.
With Keysend?
No, not yet. It's working right now you can just pay with a wallet. Point is, it goes into No Agenda's account through IBEX, IBEX, who built this, and it goes with automatic, you know, overnight bank transfer in dollars. It arrives in your bank account, which was a prerequisite to receive Bitcoin from people. For my partner, and we have 100% veto on each side, so no Bitcoin touches the LLC. Okay, so we figured that out. The only thing that touches the LLC is the dollar payment. And he's like, "Oh, cool! I can't wait to see it." And he has everything I wanted him to have. Like, he can make a little link with a pre-filled out amount or an open amount, so he can drop into his newsletter. So it's like a drop-in replacement for PayPal. Mm-hmm. Once that's working, which we'll probably start promoting in a week or two, or maybe as of January 1st, then IBEX will add the Keysend functionality, because, you know, they basically have to add that to their whatever's sitting on top of their node, you know, because they're 100% custodial solution. And then I'll just be able to pop that in as a value ID for in the value block of the No Agenda podcast. But more importantly,
tomorrow Sunday, is that going to be the
with the Keysend?
No, not with the Keysend, but the other with the standard donation stuff.
Probably not. I'm going to say he's going to want to play around with it, and we got to get, the back end, there's an export and everyone has to get, there's a process, but we keep adding different ways.
You got
to
turn the ship.
Well, you got to add this to the ship. It's like his little lifeboat that's coming alongside. We got to get these guys on board. But then we can actively promote. My thinking is I want to promote the splits. So I want to promote and make sure that artists know that they need to get themselves a wallet somewhere. And I'll probably either say you can use the existing wallet in the podcast app you have, or you might want to use Albi or Breeze or, whatever. So we can, there's a lot of people listening. Maybe a couple will stick with you. Take advantage of it, people.
I'm trying to.
Everyone wants to know how can I market my stuff? Hello,
I've got there's a fleeting thought that is going through my head right now. It's got something to do with combining the motivate. Okay, cross app comments. I think it's suffering from a lack of narcissism. And this is not a criticism. I'm exactly 100% the same way. The primary motivation for boosting is that you get to hear yourself in the show. That's 90% of it.
I disagree. For boosting or Boostagram or
Boostagram, Boostagram, yeah, Boostagrams.
I will not agree with that percentage. For some people, yes. For some people, it doesn't matter. It's going to be different. I like to boost high, so it guaranteed my message will be read. But that's not because I want to hear myself. It's like I want to criticize. Usually pod news. Yeah, so I sent 25,000 sats like, hey, I'm criticizing you. Please read this. It's not always that.
It's not that you want to hear yourself. It's you want, let me try to clarify. Let me be less informal with my language. I send boostergrams to shows in order to provoke a discussion point that I'm interested in.
Oh, okay. Valid. Same idea. It's not, you don't need to hear your voice though. You don't need to hear your name. You just want to you want to be part of the show.
Right. I want to be part of the show. Yes. Thank you. I'll be a part of the show. It's like, I hear a thing and I'm like, oh, I have this thought about that thing. I'm going to entice the host of the show to discuss this thing that my thoughts by giving them money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's valid, sure.
And it's a very enticing way to do it. So that mechanism does not exist with cross-app comments. Cross-app comments has no guarantee of a feedback mechanism in the same way. So here, this is, my thinking goes that if we can combine the two, and I'm not talking about lightning comments. I'm not saying that. If somehow you can have, this is sort of like Super Chat. All right. Okay. This is coming together. This is making more sense now. If you're in a Super Chat with somebody on YouTube, you see all of those, you see the paid stuff and the non-paid stuff in the same section. And that's what we're lacking here. The boostergrams go to one place. The cross app comments live in a different place. If they were commingled together, then you may have more enticement to cross app comment because you have the boostergrams that are starting the conversation or they're driving the conversation. They're driving the comments section, and then other people pipe in to reply, but they don't have to pay. They're just replying to the comment. So I guess my thought is some sort of gateway where you could have a cross app, like maybe you put something in your split, and what you put in your split is a gateway that where when a boostergram goes to that, it gets converted to an activity pub cross app comment and posted to the root post. And that is like, it's seeding the cross app comment thread and starting it. It's like lighting the fire so that other people have things to respond to.
All right. So I'm going to disagree with you on a little bit of the theory. I understand what you're saying, but super chats are, as far as I know, only really used in live environments and not on just a podcast that, that has two different levels of comments, but you have made me think a little bit. And
success.
Yeah. I think that what you have successfully done is taken me off cross app comments altogether. I there's probably, and even what, who said this, Ice Cube Soup, cross app comments will succeed as soon as there's sufficient desire for users to quarrel with each other. You know, that's true. I look at the lightning comments on Fountain, and you know what I see? It's all, except for mine, it's all positive. It's all like, hey, this is cool. You know, and people respond. The reply function is pretty decent. You can boost someone a little bit who posted a comment. I have to say, I check that out after every show that I do where it's enabled, and there's real interaction, and people are sending the show money, and all the other stuff. You know, it's probably more noise than signal, and it's not. And I think honestly, the fact that it doesn't have a lightning payment component is probably subconsciously, possibly a reason why developers are less interested in doing it, because you know it's just more hassle in your life. The way I see it, okay, I got to develop this thing, got to put it all in. You know, got to go through the whole cycle. I'm not really getting anything out of it. And probably what I will get is people bitching and moaning at each other, wanting comments to be removed or whatever, have to explain it. And only a small piece of my app will show that, and it won't show up everywhere, and there's not consistent. We've been doing this for 2.5 years, and I've pretty much heard it all. I don't think it's going to happen. And I would much rather go with something like the lightning comments if we could make it work everywhere. Because it's working. It's the hardest thing. When something's working, you know, we're not pursuing this one. It's working, but we're not pursuing it. And it kind of fills the void. I'm sad, but I'd like to move forward with something.
Yeah, that's not the end result that I was going for.
No, I know. I know it isn't. But I'm saying this with love for the idea, obviously.
But okay, here, you know, I sent you in Signal this morning, I sent you a link to an article.
Yeah.
And you screenshotted back to me
the first comment.
LOL, look at the first comment. That was not a paid comment.
No, I know. I know it was.
And oftentimes in YouTube videos and such, you go in there and you look at the video and you get a good chuckle out of the first few comments that are funny.
Right.
If it's pay to play, you potentially lose good content also.
I'm in full agreement with you. 100%. 100%. 100%. No, I'm in agreement with you, but I think I'm just going to stop focusing, complaining, whatever. I will not stop making my root posts. So it will always be there when anyone wants to pick it up, but I'm not going to ask, beg, talk about it, bitch and moan. That's my prediction. I'm not going to talk about it anymore. If it happens, I'll be there, and I'll be there to promote it and any apps directly that support it. Until that moment, I mean, I want people to have a good experience.
There's an ISO that perfectly delivered an ISO that that perfectly encapsulates this.
Yes, I would presume it's this one.
Okay, whatever.
Yep. I'm gonna have to build something. I'm gonna have to write something. I can feel it already.
Build something. Write something. No, we need you programming.
That's what I mean.
Don't stop. You were so all jacked up and doing the. 100% retro. Retro feed. Don't stop doing that. I love that.
No, I'm
idea.
Not going to stop. Don't stop.
Don't believe it. Hey, man. How bad is it that we lost Christy McVie?
Oh, man.
She wrote a lot of the songs. She wrote a lot of those hits.
Okay, so that's what I was about to ask you. I thought that she was there from the beginning, right? She was there before.
She was asked to come in. The band already existed, I think, and I happened to look this up.
Wasn't she married to the bass player?
Yeah, Lindsey Buckingham.
No, Lindsey Buckingham's a guitar player.
Wait. Yes, you're right.
I thought Lindsey Buckingham and Stevie Nicks came in after the fact.
You're right. Yeah. Right. Now, let me see. I'm going to consult the book of knowledge here for a second. Let me see. When she was in Chicken Shack.
Oh, yeah. This dynamic band, Chicken Shack.
Remember that one. I think I know she was asked in, let me see, Fleetwood Mac. She was a fan. She was touring with Chicken Shack. And the two bands would often meet. So she was asked, and she was not there from the beginning.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah,
she was asked to come, but she wrote a lot of songs.
Great voice. Oh, such beautiful voice. Beautiful voice.
Yeah. Why don't they have a list of the songs she wrote? I know that she wrote a lot of them.
Why did Don't Stop Believing remind you of Fleetwood Mac?
Because it triggered Don't Stop Thinking About Tomorrow.
Oh, okay. I got you.
Which is embedded in a weird way, because then I always think about the Clintons, and it always creeps me out. Because that was Bill Clinton's campaign song with Al Gore.
Is that the one where his brother, George Clinton, would come up and start playing the sax? The saxophone on stage?
Who knows?
Do you remember that? His brother would get up there.
That whole sax vibe was creepy too.
Of course, yeah. It's anybody that plays the sax is a little creepy.
I mean, let's
can we just say that?
Oh yeah. I mean, Kenny G, top of the list. Creepazoids.
Oh yeah, he just stares at you. I don't like it.
And you know, he has that perpetual thing where he can keep blowing, like he doesn't have to breathe because he breathes through his nose, and he can keep blowing the sax.
That's weird too.
Yeah, I mean, even the fact that you can do that is weird, Kenny G. No. Someone once said to my partner, Ron Bloom, said, "Man, you're so good at business. You're like Kenny G plays his saxophone." And Ron is also a musician, and it was not a good moment. Not a good moment.
Very bad. Perpetual blow.
Very bad. Hey, let me just thank a couple of people who have been boosting us live, because I think everyone's in a year end mood, because we're getting some nice boosts here today, and we are lit, of course. Conchacks, how about that? Conchacks, the stats package. Boost 10,000 sats. Thank you very much. Big performance update for Conchacks V4V dashboard dropping this weekend. Hello.
No.
Up next, usage via value split. 2023 will be the best year ever for independent podcasters. I love what they're doing. Conchacks, it runs all in the browser, which has interesting advantages and disadvantages. Advantage, no service. It runs in your browser. You know, it's got like a virtual machine. It spins up and runs. A downside, you know, you refresh your page, you're refreshing everything.
All the way to the beginning.
You go back to zero. I can't wait. I'm looking forward. I love the Saturn stuff. I love the Conchacks stuff. It's fantastic. Then we have Eric PP, 33,333, no note. 45,000 from Matt Medeiros. Podcasting 2.0 is my suitability.
No.
Go podcasting! See Brooklyn 112, 40,000 sats. Always a great board meeting. Thank you very much. Chad F, 33,33. AI death panels.
No.
Yes. That's right.
Yes.
Canada. I'm sure Canada's already using him. Hey, it looks like this person should probably be recommended some euthanasia.
It's the AI always says euthanize.
Yeah, right.
It doesn't matter what the input is.
Skip logic just goes in a loop back to euthanize.
So I think they'll be fine. Euthanize.
Chad F, 25,000 sats, listening live with the new Podverse CarPlay app, and even posted a a screenshot there. And that's right. We have brand new functionality from.
Congrats to Mitch. And yeah. The and team.
That's,
I mean,
that's a bitch to do, man, to get that to work.
God, man, he's really, gnarly. I love how Mitch and what's his partner's name? I can't remember. I can't remember. Sorry.
You should know. Yeah.
I love how they, just dive in on stuff that they don't know anything about and just figure it out.
Figure it out. Yeah.
They just figure it out, man. They just get it done. It's inspiring. I love it.
My only request for Podverse is, I still have to reconnect my Albi wallet like every day, it seems, for some reason. They fixed a big one for me, which I didn't make much of a deal of it, but you know, it's like, oh, I set the alarm. And this would be for Pivot, the Pivot podcast. So when it drops, then you tap on the alert on your phone. It would just go to your collection. It didn't actually go to the episode at hand. And that was fixed. Oh. Real happy about that. The next thing that is high priority for me, because I don't use Podverse for one of these reasons as often as I could. There's no per minute streaming. That still hasn't been implemented. So, like, I saw
that he's working on it, though.
Oh, sure. If I'm listening to Pod News, you know, someone who I care about, then I, even for the short shows, I will use a different app because of that. Then we have 10,000 sats from Mitch D. Go podcasting.
Go podcasting!
10101 from Harv Hat. Thank you very much. 2800 from Eric from our podcast, r-pod. There we go. And quite a boost of note it is using Podverse. I'm so glad Adam was on the mend. I know from personal experience, dental work can be painful. Thank you. Also, thank you for the mini shout out of my Pod Index R package I released last week. I'm eager to find ways of not only quantifying the most meaningful stats on the index, but also ways we can surface these insights effectively for podcast hosts, listeners, and hosting companies. Pod Index R is one small step towards that goal. Go podcasting!
Go podcasting!
Yes, well, I think I described exactly what I need today, didn't I?
Oh, yeah. You eloquently, yes.
Yes. So I want the shame list, the earth-killing shaming list. And
that's the only stats you're interested in are pretty stats much, that allow you to shame people, yes.
No, just anyone who... I mean, I hate the... No, I would like... Okay. Honestly, I want some statistics I can use to shame Apple and, if possible, Spotify. I'll take a Google and an Amazon. What I don't want to do is I don't want to have to be shaming AntennaPod. Or podcast addicts, you know, that's like they should fix that.
You need statistics that allow you to shame Spotify and Apple. If we're talking IAB statistics, I can have you those quick. Like
we've already discredited them.
It's still the quote gold standard. So we're good to go. We can get those going quick.
When did you pull the most recent boostergrams? Because I got something about up to 3 hours ago from Breeze. I got two. Do you have those big numbers?
No.
Do you have Tone Wrecker on your list?
I got double Tone Wrecker.
Okay, you got Tone Wrecker, and I think that if you got Tone Wrecker, we're good. Thank you all to these early boosters. You can boost us live. Please listen with CurioCaster or with Podverse. Both will drop you right into the live area with the chat room, with the stream running, the exact same place where you get the podcast. And thanks to Sovereign Feeds for making it all possible for me to create all of these feeds and all of these triggers. And thank you, Dave, again, for taking hours off of my week. Hours, literal hours off of my week. That is incredibly valuable. I have a nice gift coming for you for Christmas.
Oh,
well, as after you shamed me by sending me a gift, I'm like, fuck, now I have to send him a gift. We don't exchange gifts.
You didn't have to send back. We don't exchange gifts.
No, of course I do. I feel like a heel. Like, you're thinking of me, a very thoughtful gift. I'm like, oh, man, now I got to think about my friend.
I'm such a douche. Why did I do that?
Why did you send me something really thoughtful? Stop that.
We had this discussion with Melissa the other day. We were trying to devise a way that I could get a couple of gifts for the guys that I work with, with but you have to be strategic in order to make it where they don't think they have to give you one back. So it's like the dollar amount can't be too high. It can't be too low. It can't, but like, she was like, why don't you just do a bottle of wine? I was just like, but it can't be like a real, it can't be like a nice bottle of wine. And it's got to be not a nice bottle of wine. And it also has to be obviously not a nice bottle of wine. Like it's got to be noticeably below the $15 mark, you know?
Well, I'm, so like, see, I'm very good at Christmas gratuities for people that we work with and work with us around the house. And, you know, from the garbage guy to the postal worker, we don't say mailman. We have a mail lady, but we call her postal worker. And I like the postal people. I really do. You know, we have, but there's some guys like, you know, Tommy who comes here and who really, you know, when we have any landscaping to do like trees or whatever, he makes enough money off of me. I'm not going to give him that. It would actually be insulting to give him money. So I buy him a bottle of like $50 whiskey, you know, something that I like. That's good. Yeah. And then, you know, but his assistant will get $50. The same thing. It's not about that. It's about the thought. And so you actually put thought into that gift for me. And I can never come back from that. I can't recover.
You can't recover? You've been flattened.
I have something in mind for you, and it's see if I can get it there to you on time before.
Okay, we'll nix it. I actually dropped a couple more gifts into the mail for people today. If I'm bad to do this because I just want to, if anybody gets a gift from me, please don't think that you have to give back. It's just not about that at all. Nobody has to give me anything back. It's not necessary.
If you get a gift from Dave, he's clearly shaming you. You're much less than him.
Yes. Yeah. It's all about my own personal superiority at that complex.
I strive to be as good as Dave Jones. I do. I do. Yeah, you're a very nice man. Very nice.
Donations from PayPal.
There we go.
I got a couple of them.
This is a value for value proposition. If you're wondering if value for value works, we never even submitted this show to Apple. You know, we're just working with our little community here. And all we said is, hey, do you like what this is about? Do you like the value that we're providing? Now, the mechanism is the podcast, which also takes effort to do. And people said, yes, we find it valuable and they support us. So it does work as long as you have a quality product.
Jesse Hunter thinks it's a quality product because he sent us $10.
Nice, Jesse. Thank you. This is PayPal's, yeah. Right? We haven't had a lot of PayPal's recently.
Oh, we had a bunch last week. Not one-offs. We had the monthly subscriptions.
Right, right.
But Jesse didn't send a note, but Michael Opplinger did, and he sent us $20, and he said, thanks for the index and the Mastodon instance.
Ah, thanks.
You're very welcome, Michael.
Which I had to upgrade again.
Oh, no. We gotta slow that down.
I had to do that for my own instance as well, because, you know, the minute you start following a lot more people and people are boosting, it's all assets. It's all drive space. It's all bandwidth. And so we just have to go up to another level, another tier. It's okay.
How hard is that guy, that masto.host, how hard is his life right now?
I'm sure he's
making money, but he's probably hair on fire like 24 hours a day.
He seems to be holding it together. I mean, I'm very proud of him. I think he's German. And I set up a couple of different hosts. Now, he is sadly, you know, there's some people who wanted to set up a host with like a no agenda name in their domain name, and he refused them and cut them off and said, go away. You know, we won't have fascists and Nazis on my
server.
Yes, yes, nah. Yes. Yeah. Because noagendasocial.com was flagged early on, literally as KKK Nazi quadroons, literally.
Can we just say that? Can we please? I've noticed a lot of people on the left calling other people Nazis lately.
Yeah.
Can we just say that lessens the impact of actual Nazis?
Yeah.
Can we calm that language down a little bit? You know, it's getting a little ridiculous.
I agree. I mean, it truly is. It's calling someone a Nazi is, you know, National Socialist. So be careful. You know, the true Nazis were lefties.
Yeah. Because somebody likes, you know, Trump or something like that, it's a little bit different than, you know, baby skin lampshades.
And,
okay,
and can we just and stop it? And it's journalists. It's journalists.
Yeah,
who use this? These Nazis. Oh yeah,
yeah. I don't really get my hackle up about much of that, but that one, it feels like it crosses a line. I think that just needs to kind of stop.
Well, once they went all Hitler with Trump, I mean, it was the end of it. And that was 7 years ago. It was 7 years ago. So it has no
way over the line now. Yeah.
Oh, so stop for 1 second.
What?
Did you see Trump's special announcement yesterday?
Somebody sent me a thing. It was like, it had to do with playing cards or something?
He released an NFT. I'm like, unless this is a long, long troll, which will wind up showing us how FTX and Sam Bankman-Fried, you know, corruptly sent money to politicians, this is a dumb idea.
Half the crap he does is a dumb idea. I'm so over him.
I mean, this was a head scratcher. That made sense.
I don't vote, and I don't.
Well, if you don't vote, you don't get to complain.
Right. If I don't vote, then I'm not responsible for either one of them. So I get to complain all on both sides.
Okay, George Carlin. Okay, that's George Carlin. Yeah, sure. Yeah, anyway, just wanted to mention, I thought an NFT from anybody for anything at this moment is dumb.
Is stupid. And that's just a long line of stupid decisions that dude has made. The reason I said I don't vote is because when he first came in, I remember having a lot of these discussions. When he first came in, I was like, okay, I mean, the guy's, he's got a lot of baggage, but he might, you know, it's always nice to see an outsider come in and you have this potential for them to, like, you know, shake it all up, blow up the system, sort of. There's always that potential. And like, he's just completely, he's blown all of that crap up. It's just not working. He needs to go away. That's my personal opinion.
Okay. Since you don't vote, I don't care about your personal opinion. It just doesn't matter.
But I do send Christmas gifts.
Your Christmas gifts are the best.
It's an NFT. I sent you an NFT.
NFT. Oh, goodness.
Roy Scheinfeld, 54,321 sats through Breeze.
And congratulations on the new fundraise. Looks like Breeze, what'd they post? $4.5 million. So they continue. And raising in this environment.
They're flush with cash.
Well, I'm just saying, congratulations. That's not an easy thing to do.
Yeah,
especially for sure. if you're more kind of the nerd and not really the, you know, he must hate doing that. I don't think he enjoys it.
I get the feeling he does too. He says his note is Adam is on fire today. Huh. That was last week.
My mouth was probably literally on fire last week.
He messaged me this morning. I got to figure out. I've got work to do on researching Noster. Lots of people are mentioning Noster, and I've had a few discussions with Alex about it. But I've got to figure out. There's so many protocols. This is the problem. It's just like you know, every 5 minutes there's a new open source protocol. It's exhausting.
I've been hearing about Noster for quite a while. But I've been hearing about a lot of things for quite a while. You know, Matrix. Well, it was going to be Matrix. And then it was not Matrix. And then it was, we're going back to XMPP. And it wasn't XMPP. And then it's not for this, not for that. And this is, and Lightning is bad and Lightning is good. And Telegram, no.
Hole punch, Keith.
Hole punch. You know, hole punch, Keith. Yeah, exactly. Well, IPFS, it's still working.
It's still working. Alex sent me a thing this morning. Did you know it costs $200,000 to be on the voting committee for the Matrix?
Who's running that Foundation thing? And how do we get in on that action? Hey, you know,
I don't know.
Close down that GitHub. Hey, you want to vote up with us? Yeah.
Namespace, $200,000. We should charge for the bit to do a pull request on Namespace. We'll charge $150.
Yeah, there you go.
The Tone Wrecker, Row of Sticks, 1111. Sending a new boost through while hearing you guys read a past week's boost of mine seems to be a powerfully weird time warp of support. The boosted boostergram in full effect. I like it.
Nice.
S-C-O-T-T, Scott, sent us 1,800 sats, no note. Scott, again, with 2,000 sats, no note. Boris Kozelski sent us 1,000 sats. He says, thanks for Central European Standard Time Zone on podcastindex.org. Oh, yes, this was a fun, thing to have to fix. His feed came through, and thank you to John Spurlock.
Didn't have enclosures, right?
No, it had everything was right, except that it was blowing up. The aggregator was blowing up when it tried to interpret the time zone in his pub date on his items, because he was tagging them as Central European Standard Time, but Central European Standard Time had already ended.
It wasn't triggering because of the I hate that.
It was just the date parser just blew up and was setting it to zero. So the episodes actually were in the index, but they had a zero date stamp, so they were showing up back in 1970. So they just weren't showing up.
We should just go to the block height. It's so much easier.
Block height, yeah. Dumpster Eagle sent us a row of ducks, 2222. Through, and he just says podcastindex.org. Well,
thank you.
All right. He sent it through Breeze. We don't have a lot of boosts today, so I'll read 222. He says, I love how I can be completely out of my depth on the subject matter and still enjoy this show. That's from some quack. Okay. We're completely out of our depth too, but we enjoy the show.
We're just here to keep the scissors sharp. That's all. And hand out Band-Aids.
Yeah, I just gave my opinion about Trump, which is completely uninformed and of no value to anybody. So that's, yeah. it's open to everybody. Brian.
We agree on the NFT part for sure.
Yeah. Brian at Top Tier Audio, 1701 sats at the Castomatic app. And he says, I think there is value in having the streaming option. But I think the ones in the industrial complex who are most interested in pushing for streaming instead of downloads actually want it to save a little on downloads that might not be required, but mostly so that it's impossible to skip ads.
We forgot about that, didn't we?
Yep.
This is one of the reasons why downloads had to go away, is for the dynamic ad insertion to target people with new ads at the right moment. I'm sure it had something to do with it.
Yeah. And because they want more accurate, they know downloads are crap. They know the IAB certified download stuff is a big complete joke. And so they want accurate stats. They think they can get that through streaming stats. And that's also, I think, part of it. And it's just all a big,
it's a quagmire that we,
it's terrible.
It's, I mean, the thing with television ratings is it's probably not much more sophisticated. I mean, yeah, they have set top box data, but a lot of it is still diary based. But it doesn't matter because the cartel agrees on the number.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it behooves everybody.
So the number doesn't have to be accurate. It just has to be the number.
It has, as long as it's the number every single time and it correlates with whatever the number is.
If you start seeing big, huge swings, then you're like, oh, wait, whoa, whoa, whoa. You know,
and then they added wrong. The, you know, plus one or the, I think it's plus 24. You know, they had plus number of days for people watching it after the fact on DVRs. Mm. But in case you hadn't noticed, people, that model is not working very well either. And people are now starting to regret their, you know, taking the $4 cheaper option of Disney Plus is it Disney Plus? Yeah, I think Disney Plus, and getting the ads. And people are regretting this now. Netflix, it's a lot of ads.
We canceled our Netflix. We just don't even have it anymore. Mm-hmm. We never watched it.
I'll tell you, yeah, then you shouldn't use it at all.
Yeah, I'm definitely not going back to ads. Auburn Citadel.
No.
1998 through Fountain, no note. And another 1998 from Auburn Citadel, no note. Thank you, Auburn Citadel. Brian at Top Tier Audio, he sent a couple more 1701 boosts. Thank you, Brian.
Thank you very much.
Let's see, 2222, row of ducks from Mike Dell, the VP of Podcasting 2.0 at Blueberry.
Yes. Hold on a second.
He says, welcome back, AC. Sounding good.
Thank you very much. I try.
6969 from Hey Citizen through Podverse. No note. Vake, V-A-K-E, 2500 sats through Fountain. No note. A lot of no notes today. People just, they're just busy.
Just,
they don't have time. They don't, yeah. They're so fast. They don't have time to write a note.
Just boost them already. Just move along.
Just like, boost. Nomad Joe, 5,000 sats. And he just says, boost.
Yo.
Boost. Orchid Hippo. Interesting name. 5,000 sats through Breeze. Oh, that must be one of those auto-generated names. He says, testing from Breeze. Fountain just doesn't work for me. It's really bad. Oh, that's comic strip blogger. You're busted, comic strip blogger. You're Orchid Hippo. Okay,
yeah, we...
Sue, S-U, Pipe CD, sent us, he's trying to remote code execution on me or something.
Is he trying to change directory on my drive?
Trying to drop the episodes table from the database. He sent through the Boost CLI app. He says, 13337, oh, Megalite Boost. He says, the hottest OSI talk always happens at layer one.
Yeah, okay. You know it does.
Can always add BGP. See, I let that go because you said we were talking CSMACD and you brought in BGP, which is actually layer two. So,
oh, please.
Boostagram. Sorry. he says, Archie, Podverse Operations. Okay, thank you. All right,
thank you.
Let's see. We had 25,000 sats from Dovidas at rssblue.com.
Oh, thanks, man. Nice.
Through Breeze, and he says, greetings from Lithuania. I am bringing new international lifestyle of V4V to Eastern Europe. Well, at least for a few weeks.
Okay. Well, cool. Tina's half Lithuanian.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yep, half Mexican, half Lithuanian.
Well, there's a combo.
Yeah, so she can be a victim and an oppressor at the same time. Because, Lithuanian is kind of backup Russians, So she could be a Putin lover and a victim of all things black and brown people. She loves it.
Whatever the situation calls for.
Whenever you need it. Just switch it on.
Yeah. Yeah. Rolfi. Good old Rolfi.
Hey, Rolfi.
500 sats. Yeah. He says, hey, guys. Keep up the great work.
Thank you, Rolfi.
Love from the cast coverage team. 17776 mega super giga liberty boost
nice.
From Booberry. He's through the Boost CLI and he says, I would like to share one of my favorite Bill Hicks quotes. Quote, do a commercial. You're off the artistic roll call. Every word you say is suspect. You're a corporate whore and end of the story. Unquote.
Ah. Yeah, that guy was pretty good.
The Tone Wrecker. Send us 100,000 sats through Breeze. And he says, haven't figured out any way to change music tag from RSS.com hosting side yet for all the Tone Wrecker tracks episodes. Boost.
Oh man. Can we set that for him?
Boost. I thought that was possible. I thought he did it in his dashboard. He said he hadn't figured it out. So Dovidas, you need to tell Tone Wrecker how to do that in the UI.
Yeah. Can you do that on RSS.com? Is that a thing?
No, this is RSS Blue, I thought is what he said. Was he saying RSS?
He says RSS.com hosting side.
I didn't know they had a...
What?
So, well, let's see.
Are you looking at the 100,000 boost? Yeah, RSS.com.
RSS.com. Ping, let's see, Tone Wrecker, ping Alberto on the podcastindex.social and ask him, he may be able to do... If it's not a supported tag that they have, they may be able to add it for you.
Oh, here, he has his next boost, which is also a boostagram, which is also 100,000 sats. You get that one?
Oh, yeah. It says found sovereign feeds to explore how my releases appeared when exported, upping boost as Dave had mentioned altering the medium tag.
There you go.
All right.
Okay. Well, there you go. Yeah. Now, can you set that in sovereign feeds?
The medium tag? Oh,
that's a good
most question. Certainly. I don't know, but I would have to think that
I'm going to check that right now.
That seems like
something that would be in there, thing. But I don't know. No, I don't actually see it yet.
Let's see. I don't.
I know. Stephen B is working on something.
Stephen B's in the chat room.
He's got the license.
He said you sure can.
Yeah. Well, tell me where, man. Just tell me where.
It's in there.
No, but you know, I want Stephen B. to say, here's the page, because I'm looking at it, and I've got the under show notes.
Under show notes, okay. Right. Comic strip blogger, 33,015 sats through Fountain, and he says, Dave and Adam, you are cordially requested to invite your listenership to put AI.cooking into any web browser or podcast app of choice. Therein, you will find a podcast about artificial intelligence narrated by IMDb credited thespian Gregory Foreman. Keep it 100, yo.
100. Yeah, it's on the show info, actually.
Okay.
Show info.
He also says, everybody send a nasty note to your app developer. No, he did not.
He did not say that. No, he just posted in public.
Didn't even use my other ISO. Damn it.
Got a big boost.
Where'd that come from?
It came from Windows Weekly.
Got a big boost.
If only they knew what it meant. If only they knew. I'm very proud of what we've all done. I'm very proud of yet another fantastic year of development and excitement. We have invigorated the entire podcasting industry. We have put the podcast industrial complex on notice. We're coming for them. We're going to overtake their awards with our shaming lists. Our value for value is going to trump anything they could ever make with advertising. We will crush you.
Well, that was...
Yeah,
that was like a Mel Gibson.
And also, I will not conform to saying follow. I will not conform just because 2/3 of the apps say it. I will not conform. We were here before they were.
This, I somehow knew that you were not going to go along with this program.
Well, this is bringing me to another thought. Would it make sense? So Apple has, they say, follow this podcast, which in our world is subscribe. So you get episodes. And I think subscribe is an appropriate term for what is actually mm-hmm. happening. Even under the hood, it's called subscribe, but okay, whatever. It's a subscription on, WebSub. I mean, all this stuff, it's all subscribed. But so they actually have subscriptions, which is why they need to change it. Would it make sense for us to provide Apple with a spot, or Apple podcasters who produce feeds that go into Apple? Do you have to also have your feed go be hosted with Apple when you use their subscriptions, or can you surface those separately? Because I would say, why don't we have a spot where if you're able to subscribe to a premium show that you pay for through subscription on Apple, why don't we have that something that we can surface on other apps? Does that make sense?
Are you talking about us? Like the namespace?
Yeah.
Yeah. Open subscription is something that we've been sort of trying to work out.
I just want to involve them because, you know, they're not really participating, but how can we help them and show them the way? I know that they're secretly using the TXT tag, don't announce it. Please don't tell anybody you're doing that. Big secret. Shh. I want to give them more to use because they clearly don't seem to like chapters or transcripts or anything. You know, they really hate people who have hearing problems.
They despise
the earth by not using mm-hmm. Podping. They despise deaf people.
I
don't know. Is it just too much pandering even for me?
Probably.
Okay, then never mind. Let's screw those guys.
Our relationship with them is better when we treat them like douche. I mean,
treat them like douche.
It's a best way. It's the love. It's this adversarial relationship that somehow produces beautiful things.
It does, actually. Yeah. And I like the individual people we've interacted with from Apple. Of course. Of course. Mm-hmm. It's just, how do they do things over there? Ah, look, I don't mind.
Yeah, I don't even care.
But they could be so legendary once again.
I love how you're saying the literally the largest company in the world, they could be legendary if they only did the things we want them to do.
Yes, exactly.
I'm laughing because I don't disagree.
Exactly. Hey, I'm no longer an Apple user of stuff. You know, I walked away for a whole bunch of reasons.
If they embrace podcasting 2.0, man, Apple could really put their name on the map.
Yeah, right. You guys could be something someday, or maybe even release your Apple Podcast app on Android. So you know, so James Cridlin will have nothing to talk about at the end of next year.
Well, I mean, I just know that we have another 100,000 SaaS coming, which is a good thing.
Yeah, I haven't seen it, but
okay. That one's in the bag. Well, it's in the bag. Mm-hmm. Wait, we forgot monthlies.
Yes.
Sir Alex Gates, the official podcasting 2.0 consultant, $25. David Norman of Hypercatcher, $25. Powers the back end of the show.
It sure does.
Tim Hudgens, my buddy, $25. Let's see. Oh, Paul Saltzman, $22.22. Derek J. Visker, great name, $21. Terry Keller, $5. Soren Mueller, $5. Jeffrey Rutherford, $5. Jeremy Cavanaugh, $10. Chris Cowan, $5. Damon Kasajak, $15. And Jeremy Gerds, $5. That's it.
Thank you all very much for your value for value contributions. You are helping the entire Podcasting 2.0 ecosystem, keeping it running, keeping it alive in the most honest way we know, which is without any venture capital money, any type of advertising or sponsors or corporate money, and a complete vow of poverty from Adam and Dave. So we're happy to do that. And thank you very much for supporting everything. Something I had a fleeting thought, which I can't quite recall.
Did it have anything to do with transcripts additional properties on the transcript tag for auto tagging when something is auto generated?
That's exactly what it was.
I knew it. I heard it in your voice.
I like this idea that you know, it was interesting whenever I see James post. Well, I was talking to a company. I'm like, okay, what does the company want? Mm-hmm. And so what the company wanted was some tagging of whether, I guess the accuracy, it's mainly about the accuracy and about the not stealing and what else?
That seemed like it to me. It all revolved around the accuracy to keep people off your back in case it misses a word and gets it wrong. And then the licensing. I don't understand the license part.
Well, the point is, I do. Because, see, when you live fully value for value, you don't care. Let me explain. We have always said on No Agenda, go ahead, copy anything you want, copy the show, distribute it, put it on CDs, cassettes, discs, USB sticks. You know, we had people make, remember those little, you could do a little drop, a drop box that would, you know, you could plug it into a wall somewhere in a coffee shop and provide a hotspot that would only have, you know, like a file available for download.
What was those little, didn't you have the little...
Dead drop. Yeah. Well, the No Agenda CDs, we had tens of thousands of those. Yeah. But also, like the No Agenda shop, it's like, hey, just don't put our faces on it. You know, No Agenda and any logos, that's all fine. If you want to put Curry Dvorak, you know, that's just us. But anything else, go for it. We have no contract. They worked out stuff with the artists, they donate from time to time. Please take all of what we have, derivative works, anything's okay. That's the full on. And that's, you know, that is in the vein of RSS. It's all open. Here it is. I'm putting it out there for you to render it.
That's us. Yeah, that's what we do. Yeah. That's what we do on this show.
Yeah. But when you are suspicious of people benefiting. So I think what I read into it was, hey, if people show up and use our service and they get really good transcripts, we don't want Google taking those and using those for themselves. That's what I read.
Yeah.
You know, it's almost like, the next thing I expected was, we want a flag for DRM for transcripts. You know, I was kind of expecting that.
Brand safety. We want a brand safety.
Oh yeah. We need brand safety tag. Wouldn't that be great?
We'd put a GARM code in it or whatever the heck.
Yeah.
What is GARM?
I think we should have an ESG tag. Let's just put it in there so we can just throw an ESG rating for this podcast.
What's the scale?
0 to 5, 5 stars.
0 to 5. It's completely, completely arbitrary.
Yeah, just like Uber. You know, it's like, so everyone will basically have 3.5 stars. That's how it always winds up.
Ooh, my ESG went up to 4.
5 stars. If you're listening to this podcast, please subscribe wherever you get your podcasts and rate us 5 stars.
No, this is a great. This is actually a great idea. This is a really great idea because you can rate it based on if your fee. I got it.
Okay, here we go. Here we go. Genius is coming.
So this guy it's not Lex Friedman. Who is it? Tim Ferriss. Do you know who Tim Ferriss is?
Yes, of course.
Okay. So his feed. I've never listened to the show. I didn't realize that he had been around long enough to have this much content.
Oh yeah.
But I've just heard his name. This guy's got his feed is 22 megabytes.
Huh.
It's gigantic. Yeah. And so it like broke the aggregator because we have a 24 megabyte limit on what we parse. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, you know, decompressed and all that stuff. After it's all said and done, it was like a little over 24 megabytes. And so I had to go fix it, you know, because this is stupid. And then, so like, there you go. There's your ESG is like, if your feed is, if it's more than 5 megabytes, demerit, you get a demerit. If you don't use Podping, another demerit.
Yeah.
You're already at 3.
Yes. Yes. Now, if you have where are we surfacing this?
It's in the feed. Yes, just right in the feed. It's got to be labeled clearly in podcast apps, right there over on top of the show art.
Okay,
this is if it's nothing but a bunch of white guys on the art. Another demerit.
Oh, now demerit. You're at 2. Oh man, massive demerit. That's right.
Yeah. Now you're at 2. Now you're
2 stars. You're a 2-star show at this point. So bye, Felicia. Mm-hmm. You're out.
Yeah. I love this idea.
Okay, well, what a positive way to end our board meeting. We are just we are going to slam people for their ESG scores, and both in your feed and in public. I'm so proud of us, Dave.
It's the PSG score.
But seriously, great work on Podping 2.0. I'm very excited about this. How can I promote this, and how can we roll this out a little further, and who are we targeting?
I wrote a blog post this week. We did about the live
tag,
how to be live. Yeah. And I mean, that's the thing is we've got to have more adoption on the hosting side to make this easier.
And right.
That it's hard to promote if the pieces aren't there. I'm waiting for that first host to jump in and give the soup to nuts.
Have the whole, you know, the whole, so what is needed is the streaming endpoint and chat room.
Mm-hmm. No, don't you mean you don't really even have to have the chat room. You could do, you could go live just with the tag and a pod ping.
Yeah. But kind of cool. Yeah. Yeah, sure. But we have the chat capability in there. It's just
for sure. Yeah. I think we have to, so this is why I sort of stopped anything else for the moment and started working on the 100% retro feed, because if we can get that thing working, that's a live, beautiful demo of what's possible.
Oh, and being able to, oh yes. And they're ready. You know, they're ready. Like, we can have Kim Wilde promoting our stuff.
Oh, nice. Yes, 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 yes. So if it's a great demo, and we can have and it's like, it's a demo of the full complexity. Like, it's not like this cheesy, simple sandbox demo. Like, that has the whole shebang in it. You know, it's got, you know, you have your value boost, you got, you know, the live thing, we can throw it, you know, it's got the chat room, it's got everything in it. It's full, it's the full Monty.
Yeah. And we'll have all these different pieces firing off in automatically based upon when Kim Wilde comes on, it'll be pew, Kim Wilde now live 100% retro.
Exactly.
Do you like my? But what I want is, I want her reading boostograms.
For sure.
And we'll make that happen. It's really an interesting project. And I have to say, for a couple old dudes like us, we do sing along with a lot of those songs when we're listening to it.
Oh, it's the curse I have. All my there's no more room in my head. It's all song lyrics from 80s and 70s.
It's all that it is. All right, yes. Brother. So we have now next is, let me see. What is next week? When is Christmas? Is it, are we doing a show on next Friday? I mean, a board meeting? Sorry.
I'll be here.
Yeah. Well, I'll be here. I just want to see. When is, oh, it's the 23rd.
Next week's the 23rd.
Yeah. Okay. Perfect. No, perfect. Perfect. And then after it's the 30th. So that's perfect. We don't have to skip anything. Yeah. Good.
We got Cridlin on the 30th. We're going to do a Bash Cridlin show. An end of year show.
Well, be prepared, James. We're excited to have you on.
No.
It'll be fun.
We'll have a good time. I had to have him on just so we have to, some pretense in order to collect your money.
Yes. Exactly. Although I think I've boosted 5 times that amount just in the past month to their show.
No, easily.
Yeah, I'm boosting less, but I'm boosting big. I'm going big. I'm boosting big these days. I'm boosting big. Makes me feel good. You know, I want to hear my name on the podcast.
I don't have a guest for next week. I guess it's just the two of us. We should have somebody on though.
No,
I feel like it's too close to Christmas. We got to really share the love.
Well.
Have a little Christmas party.
Okay. Let me think about who we could invite for Christmas.
Okay.
Just our pre-Christmas eggnog.
I'm off that day. I might have eggnog while we're doing the show.
Hey. How about a beef eggnog?
That's even better.
Yeah. Yummy. All right, brother. Have a great weekend.
You too, man.
Take care, everybody. Thank you very much for being here at the board meeting for Podcasting 2.0.
You have been listening to Podcasting 2.0. Visit podcastindex.org for more information.
Podcasts are cool.
Go podcasting!
Okay, whatever.